Take your Bibles this morning, turn, if you would, please, to the book of Genesis, and you're going to find that right at the very beginning, amen, Genesis chapter 1, and we're currently preaching a series entitled Avoiding the Confusion. How many of you know that our faith is under attack, and the devil always is questioning the Bible, the truths of the Bible, and creating confusion? That's what he does best, and so we want this morning to open up our hearts and understand God's revelation concerning the subject of the creation of the world. This is a series dedicated to helping us discern between truth and error, and not only because of the upcoming election, but because of our entire lives, we're going to face the challenges of the wicked one, and so we want to be able to discern properly. So let's stand together, if you would, please, Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to read beginning in verse number 1. And we'll read that verse, and then we'll read a few other verses as well. And follow with me, please, if you would. Genesis 1, first of all, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And then verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege to worship you with song and the privilege of greeting one another in the name of the Lord. But now as we open the Bible, we ask that you would bless this time of worship. Speak to every heart, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, there was a grandpa who had his granddaughter on his lap, and they were talking, and the little girl was looking at her grandpa's hands and his face and kind of touching his arms, and she looked up and she said, Papa, she said, did God make you? And the grandfather looked at her and said, well, yes, honey, God made me. And so for a few minutes, she looked at her hands and her arms, and she looked at her little face in a mirror, and she came back, and she said, you know, Papa, God is doing a lot better job lately. Now, the fact is that sometimes explaining creation to the children takes a little time, and we certainly do that in our Sunday school. But this is a message for every parent, for every grandparent, for every educator, for all of us who influence another generation, because the fact is that there are thousands of people and children in our community that will never hear the truth about God's creation if they don't hear it from you and from me. And this morning, I want you to open up your heart as we learn about God's miraculous creation. Now, back in 2007, a survey was done, and at that time, 50% of Americans said that they were familiar with creationism or God's intelligent design. Then 7 years later, 2014, they asked the same question, and only 38% said that they were familiar or very familiar with the creation of the world by the voice of Almighty God. And it's amazing because as time goes by and as secularism is more and more pervasive and humanism and atheism on the rise, fewer and fewer Americans can identify with something that many of us who are a little older understood very clearly. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Back in 2005, there was another landmark case, not too long ago. It was similar to the 1925 Scopes Monkey Trial in the sense that what was on trial was creationism. And there were, in Pennsylvania, parents that wanted in the schools a teaching concerning intelligent design. The judge ruled that they could not teach it in biology class, saying that it was creationism in disguise, and they did not want to have religion in the schools. They said this is not science, and so they disallowed the teaching of creationism in the public schools. And we've seen this for years. Take down the Ten Commandments. Take prayer away from the high school football game. If a girl in her senior speech says, I want to give God the glory, then punish her or shame her. We don't want to hear about God in the public square. That seems to be the message that we hear often in these United States of America. Well, this morning when it comes to the subject of creation, I would like you to hear three testimonies with respect to the fact that God is the creator, that his design is miraculous in this world today. I want you to notice, first of all, the testimony of the creator. The Bible says in Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Ironically, this debate between the evolutionist and the creationist, who both use science to prove their points, have one thing in common, and that is that neither group were present when creation took place. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Job 38 and verse 4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Psalm 104 and verse 5. Who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever? And so regarding the testimony of the Creator, he has given us his revelation. Now that revelation can be seen in the Bible. That revelation was seen in his Son when God became flesh and dwelt among us. But this morning we're going to see the revelation of God in his creation all around us. Theologian Henry Thiessen defines revelation as the act of God whereby he discloses himself or communicates truth to the mind, whereby he makes manifest to his creatures that which could not be known in any other way. And so when we speak of the revelation of God, we speak of his communicating to us, to our mind, our intellect, to our heart, regarding his creation and his existence. Creation acts then as a general revealer of God. Creation doesn't reveal God's plan, but it does leave man with an obligation to his creator. Creation testifies to the creator. And so Psalm 19 in verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And so we see his revelation all around us. Now this revelation, it shows the power of God, the fact that God spoke and the worlds came into existence. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years never fail. And so we learn in creation about the power of God who spoke the worlds into existence, and the heavens are the works of his hands. And not only do we see his power, but this revelation shows us his self-existence. The Bible teaches us that God was in the beginning. He is what we might call the uncaused cause. You see, he was outside of matter, speaking matter into existence. Not only is God self-existent, but he is pre-existent and separate from his creation. And we learned that a few weeks ago in John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So here we see the uncaused cause, the pre-existent God calling matter into existence. That's significant because the evolutionist teaches that all that is eternal is matter. But we believe that God is eternally pre-existent. You see, it's very important that we come to the Word of God and see literally what he is saying about his pre-existent self. Dr. Tom Wheeler, in his book, Transformed Thinking, wrote, the humanist worldview holds to evolution, rejecting the biblical teaching of creation of all things by God. It is a materialist worldview, which argues that matter and energy are all that exist. Dr. Carl Sagan stated, the materialist view is that the cosmos is all that is, or ever was, or ever will be. This is why many evolutionists worship the earth or the earth goddess Gaia, because they believe that this material existence is eternal and that we must care for it and worship it because it's all that ever was and all that will ever be. We, on the other hand, believe that God is eternal and that He called this world into existence. Quite different from the Christian worldview is this evolutionary view that opposes the idea that the universe of matter and energy is all that exists forever. God, an infinite spirit, precedes and is distinct from matter. Therefore, God is eternal and matter is not. This is what the Bible teaches us. Revelation 1 and verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe in me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Psalm 90 and verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Our God is an everlasting God. He is the uncaused cause. He was outside of matter, calling matter into existence. One atheist, Jonathan Wells, a PhD, wrote these words. He said, I think people who believe that life emerged naturalistically, speaking of evolution, need to have a great deal more faith than people who reasonably infer that there is an intelligent designer. Science, you might say, has discovered that our existence is infinitely improbable and hence a miracle. Darwinianism is merely materialistic philosophy masquerading as science, and people are recognizing it for what it is. And you'll see this morning that Darwinism truly is a materialistic philosophy, for some a form of their religion, but it is not a superior science at all. And so God in his revelation comes to us, and God is very clear, giving a testimony with his revelation that he exists and that his power is real and that his being is eternal. Now, not only do we see the revelation of God, but let me just simply say that we also see today the reliability of God over his creation. Quickly notice his reliability. The Bible speaks of it in Colossians 1:17. For the sake of time, allow me to quote it to you. It simply says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Can you say that with me? He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, the word consist tells us that he is holding or banding his creation together. So God, who is eternally preexistent, is holding all things together. It is by his power that this world is held together. And by the way, we used to sing a song when I was a kid, went something like this. He's got the whole world in his hands. Remember that song? He's got the whole world. Well, let me tell you something. That song is very true. By him, all things are held together. And if you think we've got trouble now, thank God that he's holding this world with his mighty and powerful hand. This is the testimony of the Creator. He says, here's my revelation. He says, I was in the beginning and I created this and I'm holding it together for you today. The testimony of the Creator. But there's a second testimony, and I draw this to your attention this morning. That is the testimony of the creation. The testimony of the creation. You see, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created. Now, why is it that Christians insist upon the doctrine of creation? Did you know that over 50 times in the Bible, we find the word created, and the majority of those times speak about God's universe, the planets, the stars, mankind himself. The scripture does not hide the facts when it comes to the universe's origins. And so we see the testimony of God in the creation. We see, first of all, the product of God's creation. Notice in chapter 1 of Genesis and verse 16, it says, "And God made two great lights, and the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God," notice this now, "and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." I want you to take note of that phrase, "set them." It teaches that God designated for them a place. God assigned to these stars, to these planets, a particular place. The product of this creation of God is a product of order. It is an intricate order. It is a design that is an intelligent design. And we see this throughout God's universe. I think of the galaxy in which we live, an ideal galaxy. I think of the Milky Way, the rarest galaxy in the universe. It is the only galaxy suitable for life. I think of the idea and the ideal of our solar system. Think about the fact that less than a 5% variation in the distance between the Earth and the sun would literally take all life on the planet Earth. And yet God placed the earth and he placed the sun in a perfect orbit. I think of Jupiter's orbit. Jupiter is often referred to as the vacuum cleaner of the solar system, particularly Earth. Without Jupiter's orbit, Earth could potentially be hit with large fragments from outer space, which would have devastating effects on our planet. But God set Jupiter just in place for the protection of this planet. I think of our sun. We have an ideal sun. Scientists tell us that 90% of stars within our galaxy are referred to as red dwarfs, meaning that the sun is the perfect star to give off the precise amount of heat without using an exponential amount of energy or radiation. God set the sun in the perfect place. I think about the ideal moon, how the moon keeps the earth from laying over, giving months of straight darkness or months of straight light, and how the gravitational pull and the tides are perfectly designed and set in place by our God. If the moon had a variation in size, it would cause our rotation with the sun to be slowed down or to speed up. In other words, the product, this creation gives testimony. Yes, the Creator gives testimony. He says, "I created," but the creation itself gives testimony to the fact that there is an intelligent design behind this, that this was not some accidental big bang and that everything fell into this order. No, God placed the planets into order. This is the product. But there is also a purpose behind all of this. What is God's purpose in this intelligent design? Psalm 19 and verse 1 tells us, "The heavens declare the glory of God." You see, that's why we were created, to bring God glory. May that be true of our lives this week. That's why God created the heavens, that they may bring glory to him. And I know in my heart, when I see the stars, when I see the mountains, I'm often drawn to think of God's power, God's majesty, and his wonder. Colossians 1 and verse 16, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." All things were created by him and for him. Revelation 4 and 11. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created." And so God says, here is a product. I've set things into place perfectly. And here is the purpose. The purpose of this creation is to bring glory and honor to the Creator. And then may I say, thirdly, notice the perfection of this creation. The perfection of this creation. Genesis 1 and 31, amazing verse. You might want to look at it. "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Now think about this. God saw everything that he had made, and it was very good. Now, in other words, God gets it right the first time. It was very good. You know, everything that we make takes normally some erasing, some checking, some double checking. I was thinking as I was driving by Northrop Grumman the other day, and All the cars were out there, all the workers inside. And, you know, the time will come and they'll pull out a brand new bomber or a brand new fighter jet. And it's just amazing to see the glistening jets and to see them soar into the sky. And it would almost appear that, you know, they're in this hangar and boom, the doors open and out comes perfection. But long before that product comes out, there are safety checks and safety checks and thousands of safety checks, and run that wire again and do that rivet over and let's send this part back to Georgia. They didn't do it right. Thousands, maybe millions of times that they have to go through process of check after check after check before something will fly. But God said when he made this world, it was very good. That is the power of our God. My wife, Terry, she's a great cook, and it's very difficult to diet in our family. I'm just going to tell you. I'll say, honey, I'm really going to work on it this week. I'm going to eat mostly vegetables. I'm just going to do my best. And she'll look at me and she'll say, okay. And then she'll put before me at night roast beef and potatoes and bread and honey and butter for the bread. And all the rest of it. And I watch Terry in the kitchen. And she'll bring this food out. And then she'll kind of work at it a little more and a little more. And when it comes to the table, I'm telling you, it's perfect. By the way, even if it wasn't, I'm just going to grab it and growl. How many of you men know what I'm talking about? Perfect or not, food is food. Bring it on, right? Some of you just hearing about bread and honey and butter right now. You want to leave church right now. I know some of you, your spiritual level. But you know, the fact of the matter is, she works at that and works at that. And then she finally presents it. But we serve a God who said, this is my creation, it is good. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father in heaven. The Bible says concerning our Father of lights, there is no variableness, there is no shadow of turning. Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And so this morning, hear the testimony of the Creator, in the beginning God. This morning, see the testimony of the creation. It is perfect. Everything in its place, created by God. But I want to share with you finally this morning the testimony from the conflict. The testimony of the conflict. Because even though God gives his revelation through his word through this planet, even though God is reaching out and communicating to us regarding his love, still there is a conflict today. And one of the reasons we know God has ordained this earth is because Satan constantly is attacking his design, constantly attacking his power over this universe. Now, sometimes when it comes to conflict, I like to step back and I like to see who's lining up on which side. Sometimes you can tell what side you're going to be on by who's on the other side. For example, if there's a conflict on this side over here, they are God haters and they're burning Bibles and they're taking the lives of little children that are not even yet born, taking them from the mother's womb. They're speaking against things that are sacred and holy. Normally, I figure out just by hearing the rhetoric that I'm going to be over here on this side. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? You just kind of size it up. So as it comes to this conflict regarding creation versus evolution, it might behoove us, if we're going to avoid the confusion of that, to step back and simply ask the question, well, where's all the confusion coming from? Because this was not such a confusing matter in the beginning. It wasn't such a confusing matter in the beginning of our country. Why is it so much more confusing in the day in which we live? The Bible, in fact, says in Romans 1 and verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So those that are in conflict against God, they are without excuse. Now, why does the Bible teach that? Well, I want you to notice, first of all, the realm of the rebellion. The realm of the rebellion. Where does the rebellion begin? I want you to know there is a messenger that's causing this confusion, and the messenger is Satan himself. You see, Satan and all the other angels were created for the glory of God, but Satan is the original rebel. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 14 very quickly. Where does the conflict come from? Who would fight against God and his creation? Isaiah 14 and verse 12 gives us a glimpse. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Now listen to Satan. Satan says, I will be my own God. I will ascend up to the place of God. One of the reasons that men reject creationism is because they reject the Creator. One of the reasons that they cling to other theories is because they refuse to believe in God. There is a spirit of rebellion that comes all the way back from the time of Satan himself. In fact, we see that in Genesis 3 with the first family, Adam and Eve. The Bible tells us that Satan came to Eve and he said to her, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of this tree of the garden?" He says, has God said that you'll surely die if you eat of this tree? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. So the conflict is not something that began in your college class at Antelope Valley College. It did not begin in the human resources department of your company. The conflict is much older than that. It began with Satan himself saying, I will arise, I will be my own authority, I will not follow God's plan. We hear it in the Garden of Eden. Let me show you another verse. Turn, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because there's a lot of conflict in our world. There's a lot of conflict against the things of God, even in our country. Where does this come from? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. The Bible says, in whom the God of this world, that would be Satan, he's the prince and power of the air, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. So Satan does not want people to believe in the Son of God, the creation of God. He is doing all he can to blind their eyes. He has many philosophies, many theories, many teachers, but he is blinding the eyes of them that believe not. Notice verse 4, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In other words, if somebody would dare to even consider that maybe this creation came from a creator, then they would have to consider the creator and his revelation. They would have to consider the revelation of his son, Jesus Christ. And so the God of this world is blinding the eyes of those that believe not, because Satan does not want them, perhaps someone here right now, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the rebellion comes from Satan, who blinds the eyes of people. In 2 Peter 3 and 4, they say, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They have all kinds of arguments against God and against the Bible. The realm of rebellion is beginning with Satan. He is the messenger of rebellion. But what is the message that he brings? On this subject of creation, what is the message that comes forth against creation? And that, of course, is evolution itself. That is the theory of evolution. Now, evolution theorizes that nothing times nobody equals everything. Let me say that again. Revolution theorizes that nothing times nobody equals everything. And despite the theory's widespread acceptance, despite the fact that our kids are having this shoveled into them in their classes, the fact of the matter is they continue teaching nothing times nobody equals everything. Now, a biologist by the name of Francisco Ayala said of Darwin's greatest accomplishment, he said Darwin's greatest accomplishment was to show how the development of life is the result of natural process and natural selection without need to resort to a creator. And so there are many scientists who feel the greatest thing about evolution or Darwin's theory is that it detaches us from a creator, which is exactly what Satan wants. He wants our eyes blinded to creator God. In fact, we read in another account from evolutionist Michael Dento, an Australian molecular biologist. He wrote, "Darwinianism broke man's link with God. As far as Christianity is concerned, the advent of the theory of evolution was catastrophic. The decline in religious belief can probably be attributed more to the propagation and advocacy by the intellectual scientific community of Darwin than by any other single factor." In other words, they're saying the great thing to them about Darwin's theory is that Darwin's theory has caused men and women to not consider God, to not consider the creation of God. And this is their great selling point. We have a reason to explain our existence without God. And there have been many times in Christian faith and through the church history when attacks on the faith have come. And we live in a time now where churches are acquiescing to the culture. The big argument today, the issue of today, is the LGBTQ movement. And we see churches saying, well, maybe it's okay. Come on in. Transgenderism. Maybe God didn't create male and female. Maybe he created 57 different genders. And we see churches bowing to that. Back in the day of Darwin's theory, there were churches that struggled as well. And here came the theory of evolution. And there were some that were going, well, boy, there's science involved. And science, wow, that's big and that's important. And so there were actually those churches in that day who began to acquiesce to Darwinism. And they began to say, well, maybe there's something called theistic evolution. And maybe God used evolution to bring all of us into pass. And that is a very prominent theory even to this day. Author Timothy Keller, an author that's often quoted by even Baptists today, has some neo-Orthodox roots in his background, has stated that he is a theistic evolutionist. That's why we don't quote him in a way of encouragement, because we do not believe that we serve a God who needed to use the theory of evolution to bring this world into existence. We believe what the Bible says. In the beginning, God created, and it was good. And on the seventh day, he rested. And so Darwin's theory is a theory for those who want somehow to claim the credit intellectually and somehow to minimize or completely exclude the role of Almighty God. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Now, did you catch that? Romans chapter 1. They worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. And that's one of the telltale signs of someone who's fallen into secular humanism, atheism, Darwinism. Why? Because they love Earth Day and they'll do all they can to save the whale. Not so much the baby, but save the whale. And they're burdened about the creation, but not worshiping the Creator. I believe Christians have a stewardship responsibility, and I think there are places that we should be concerned for, even our environment. But we do not worship the environment. We worship the Creator of this environment, the Lord Jesus Christ. Scientific evidence over the last 20 to 30 years has contradicted Darwin's theory. Interestingly, biochemist Michael Behan of Lehigh University wrote recently, "The conclusions of intelligent design flow naturally from data itself, not from sacred books or sectarian beliefs. The reluctance of science to embrace the conclusion of intelligent design has no justifiable foundation. Many people, including many important and well-respected scientists, just don't want there to be anything beyond nature." In other words, many people simply will not consider the science of intelligent design because they don't want to worship anything other than nature. They don't want to admit that there might be a God. And so Darwinianism is their choice because they choose not to believe God. The realm of rebellion, the questioning of God, the questioning of his power in creation began with Satan himself. Satan, the messenger. Darwinianism, or this matter of evolution, being his message. But let me close with this. What is the road to restoration? We see the realm of rebellion. We see that rebellion in college classrooms. We see it in the streets of our country. How can we have restoration with this matter. What is the road to restoration? Well, the road to restoration, no matter what you're going through, always comes down to two words. First, there is repentance. And second, there is faith. First, we must repent that we, like Satan, have tried to be God ourselves. First, we must repent. And that may be in the realm of evolution. That may be in the realm of some sexual sin. That may be in the realm of some wrong decision. Whatever the realm is, when we're trying to take the place of God, we need to repent of that. And by faith, we need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith is always God's way of restoration. Notice that if you want to look at it in Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. Acts 20:20. How about some 2020 vision? Acts 20:20. The Bible says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if Satan has drug you into his system of rebellion, if you're rebelling against God as the creator, if you're rebelling against God's ordained genders, if you're rebelling against the Bible, then I would urge you, the way to be restored is to repent of that rebellious spirit, to repent of the fact that you're trying to be God on your own and make up new rules, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are not saved, trust him as your Savior. And if you are saved, submit to him as your Lord. Repentance and faith, that's the way of restoration in God's economy. Now listen carefully. The key is not faith in creationism. It is faith in the revealed Creator. That's the area where many apologists make mistakes. Well, if I can just argue with him, and if I can win the argument about creation, then I won. Not if you lost his soul. The issue is not simply creationism. The issue is the Creator. Men reject the message of creation because they reject the Creator. That is why we must repent and turn to the Creator and say, God, I have been wrong, and by faith I receive you as my Savior. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Francis Collins was the director of the Human Genome Project. He was an atheist, and he wrote concerning his life's testimony these words: I had started this journey of intellectual exploration to confirm my atheism. That now lays in ruins. Faith in God now seemed more rational than disbelief. Friend, may I encourage you from the testimony of the Creator. In the beginning, God created. 53 times he tells us, I created, and it was very good. This is the testimony of the Creator. He gives his testimony all around us in the creation. Hear the testimony of the creation. Oh, but if you will not hear from the Creator as he speaks through this Bible, if you will not hear from the creation as you sit on this planet, then would you hear from the testimony of the revelation of his Son? For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost. He lived on this world a perfectly sinless life. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet he never sinned. And I'm telling you, God, in three distinct ways, has tried to get our attention. Through his word, through his creation, through his Son. What else does he have to do to get you to understand? He made you. He loves you. He wants to live with you forever. Why would any man say, no, God, I'll follow the rebellious ways of Satan and his ungodly theories, when there is a God reaching out, wanting to save you this morning? Don't say no to God. Repentance and faith will bring us back to a place of fellowship with him. Oh, there's a lot of confusion in our country today. But this word will straighten our direction. This word will help us to make sense out of it. Because God says, my testimony is a testimony of love. I'm reaching out for you. Will you reach back for him today?